Shalom Aleichem, Mishpachah, Todd DeHammer here with Paradigm Shift, and thank you again so much for joining us today. And as always, we want to give all glory, thanksgiving, praise, honor, and worship to our Father, our forefathers, Yahweh, Yahuwah Elohim, who sits in the heaven of heavens with our King, Yeshua HaMashiach, sitting at the right hand waiting for his enemy to be made his footstool.
That's right, you know, and if you're still with us after this tough subject, then you are tough too. You are willing to really look at tough things because we know from our discernment, Hanukkah is the biggest, baddest thing out there. I mean, it is all over our people.
Yeah, you know, Christmas and Christianity.
That's right.
I mean, that's the biggest, baddest. That spirit actually even made the celebration of Hanukkah even worse, because like we were talking about, what we learned was the Orthodox Jews that were keeping this over time, and not all Jews keep it. But the ones that keep it were keeping it. They began to throw gifts, the pagan gift-giving festival. And again, that is all associated with the pagan sacrificial, human sacrificing holidays and sexual orgy holidays of the pagans, the serpent seed.
The serpent seed. This period of darkness is the serpent's time to flourish. And we just need to turn our backs on it and put our faces towards the light and be content and complete in Abba 7 that he gave us.
And those
are what
number
we should
seven
be focused
means.
On. That's exactly right. That's right. What the number 7
satisfied
means.
Satisfied and complete.
That's
and
right.
Then he gives us the definition of the last great day of his feast seasons as the eighth day. That was the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. It's the finality. It's the new beginnings. You know, it's not...
7 plus 1.
That's right. It's not denoting that there's another holiday to come. It actually says last great day.
And so let's enjoy what he's given us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we know, I mean, we get where everybody's at with this stuff. And, you know, for 15 years, we've been happy to just kind of let it go. This year, he told us we had to do something different. And he gave us a different understanding.
Yeah.
But in that different understanding, we understand that there's examples of things.
Before you go there,
we want to
pick up with kind of like we left off on talking about the five comets, you know, and
some
other
people
comets.
Say seven.
LNN, ISON, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah.
Well, where's this stuff coming from? It's coming from the NASA astrologers in the Vatican. They're the ones who are telling us, this is something to look at. They like you said at the beginning, with it's like we told you with beginning of ISON, and at first we were captivated a little bit about the idea of this is going to be, what they announced was, this is going to be the greatest comet of the century.
That's right. NASA announced it. Jim McCanney announced it.
Yep.
Why did they do that? Well,
and then they
interesting.
Went silent.
Yeah,
and then they went silent for months until it began to go around the backside of the sun. And then within minutes, they said, it's dead. And then they say it's rebirth.
Yeah.
Because this is all a part of their times and seasons, Mishpachah. And they worship the sun, moon, planet, and stars. They bow down and serve them. They have to get you kind of in the thoughts that the sun, moon, planet, and stars have powers over the earth. As above, so below. So they're defining it for you here on the earth. They set up their events, their sacrificial events, or the crowning of their kings or the birthing of their princes and all this according to these according to the movements of the sun, moon, planet, and stars.
That's right.
And so they already know it's coming. They calculated out Yahweh's feast days are not a calculation whatsoever. He tells us to observe. He tells us to witness.
And then count.
And then count.
Yeah.
Not calculate, but count. And then when it's done, it's done. It's over. It's over.
Don't
seek for more out of your own flesh
to
find something comforting so that you feel good, especially you house of Israel that is so corrupted by Christmas.
Because
if you're going to go to Hanukkah, then why not ask the Jews to go to Christmas? Let's just really compromise this thing. As what got me fired up about this whole thing this past week and got me going on it was this article from a site that's called
Destination Israel.
Destination Israel. And this man, I'm not sure if he's an Ivy League globalist rabbi or what he is, but he does have a lot of good historical information. He does present the idea that there are two houses, and that's what Scripture says, and they're two definitely differently defined houses. Everything of the book is not about the Jews. It's about the house of Israel, the northern 10 tribes, and the southern two, which is the kingdom of Yehuda, who we call the Jews today. As a matter of fact, Jews, I found in one article of our research that the word Jew, let's see this, Jew, post-biblical term describing descendants of Edomite and Khazar converts to Judaism. So there's your intermixing of the Esau, Edomite, red-headed, bloodline of the serpent seed coming into Judaism. But of course that happened in Babylon, it happened in Persia, it happened in the land with the Greeks.
The story of our people.
It happened with the northern 10 tribes all over the planet. But anyway, this article is the amazing convergence of Thanksgiving and Hanukkah and its implications upon diaspora Jews and the lost Israelites. So then he goes down and he has Thanksgivica, a celebration between the Jews and the lost tribes of Israel.
Yikes!
Okay,
you don't want any part of
no,
that.
No, it's this overall mixing that has gone on with our people who desire to return to Yah. The main thing is we desire to gather with one another for the sake of gathering. It is one of the most evil desires in our hearts, because we do it out of flesh, and we will compromise and throw out everything of Yah in order so that we can incorporate, universalize Catholicism,
yes,
universal religion to the new one world order, final religion. This is just
There's
the stages.
Where Islam comes
this
in.
Is just the stages to get us there.
That's
yes.
Right.
And today we've got churches all over the United States that are preaching this Chrislam, especially like with Rick Warren. But anyway, go ahead, Ms. Mom.
Okay, and so part of what the thing that we're talking about, though, is the understanding that there are many examples of things in Scripture that go really bad when people who have really good intentions did things outside of Yahweh's commands.
Yeah, one other thing I want to say about this Destination Israel site that talks about the lost 10 tribes and the returning of both of them. He puts up all the time rabbis that have understood this understanding of the two houses coming back together. So all you people out there who are arguing against that there are two houses, you don't like that theory, it's not a theory. It's right there in the middle of the book. Read it. So
it's more than the middle of the book.
It's almost the whole thing. So, but the one thing I want to say about this is a thing that we believe that they are getting the world to come back to. It's been the thing that has been taught to us in Christendom forever and ever and ever, that the Jews are the most specialist people on the planet. And if you say anything about their feast times, their days, their holidays, because they set up their agents too, that come out against you to call you an anti-Semite if you don't go against their pagan holidays and the things they've added and taken away from it. It's the same battle since the time of Solomon's two sons, who, when we battled over what the feast dates of Yah were going to be and how we were going to do it. We've been doing it for centuries. It's still going on. So this Destination Israel guy, his ultimate solution to the 12 tribes coming back together is we all got to become Judaic Jews. We got to go into this religion of Judaism. And I'm going to warn you again, Mishpachah, Scripture says directly that we will be brought up to the kings, the magistrates of this earth, and to the synagogues. The synagogues, not to the cathedrals, not to the churches, not to any of these other places on the planet, not to the FEMA camps, not to anything, but to the synagogues, Mishpachah. So there's the heart of the corrupted understanding of who our brothers are, that they are, we're giving the right to be the lawgivers of this planet, and they were given the curse not to forget it. And they carried it with them throughout their time, so they've been an easy target as far as trying to annihilate the house of Israel. But I'm going to tell you right now, there has been more Israelites of the northern 10 tribes sacrificed and killed than the Jews of Yehuda over the time period. There was 10 houses of the tribes of Israel, and we all went all into Europe. We've been slaughtering each other for the sake of these Canaanite kings that are over the top of us, who understand who they are and who we are, and they want to rise up and rule and use us to dominate and control the entire earth, because the 12 tribes of Israel were the only nations on the planet given all of the blessings, the greatest blessings to be on this earth. And they're the only nations on this planet that are wholly consumed. You got the northern 10 tribes, who got the kings over that live in London, who call themselves New Jerusalem, all this. They're massively consumed with genealogies throughout their kings. And who else is concerned about that? The Yehudites. It's a big battle of who is going to be in charge and whose religious holidays are going to be it. And whose calendar, because we want to do our ways and not Yah's ways.
And what does Father want us to do? He wants us to have a heart to discern between good and evil. He wants our minds to be transformed so that we will be able to discern what is the good and perfect will of Yahweh. That's what he's after. And why is he after that? Because even if you have really good intentions and you do things outside of those intentions, you use those intentions to do things outside of what he's commanded you to do, really bad things are going to happen to you. He doesn't just go, oh, that's nice that you had a heart for that. And you're, so many of us are willing to talk to Christians about that with Christmas, but we're not willing to recognize it when it comes to Hanukkah, which is still sitting in the same season with the same spirit all over it. So what I would like to do is just give you some examples of some of these things that have gone crazy.
Most of us are terrified to talk to our brothers in Yehuda about their corruptions they have in their house.
Well, and what's going on is the brothers in Yehuda who hate Messiah are actually becoming violent towards anybody who loves Messiah and is returning to Abba's Torah. So this is the future that is lying in front of every one of us who wants to walk with Yahweh and not with Jews.
There's a divisive, hateful spirit amongst our people, they're the problem. It doesn't matter what they're saying or what they're professing or how close to the truth it is, they have to be kicked out of the camp, period. It doesn't matter if they're in the house of Yehuda or the house of Israel.
They're arguing for the sake of arguing. If contention and strife are going on, there's even a scripture quote that says you're to kick them out and shun them because then it will all that perversion, because they are perverted, and then it will cease. And I can get all those scripture quotes for another show. So let's go here, though, because, the hardest thing about this is we know people who are just lovely, lovely people, and Hanukkah is just so important to them, and, we care about them. But what we want to show is that your good intentions aren't going to get you through. In the first example that we have is in Leviticus 9 with Aaron's sons. And Moshe and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. They came out and blessed the people. And the esteem of Yahuwah appeared to all the people. And then fire came out before Yahuwah and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. All of the people saw this and cried aloud and fell on their faces. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his fire holder and put fire in it, and put incense on it, and brought strange fire from before Yahuwah, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from Yahuwah and consumed them, and they died before Yahweh. Then Moshe said to Aaron, "This is what Yahweh spoke, saying, by those who come near me, let me be set apart, and before all the people, let me be esteemed." And Aaron was silent. In other words, do what I say. Don't go do the things that you want to do for me. Do what I'm telling you to do. And if there's any, good witness in the Old Testament, in the Torah, about a strange fire being two candlesticks added to the menorah, I would say the two sons of Aaron are a perfect witness to this with their two incense burners full of strange fire. Those two candlesticks added to Father's original creation are an abomination, and he will strike down the people who persist in doing this and reject the knowledge and the truth and the wisdom. He'll give you over to that reprobate mind and let you go after your flesh if that is what you seek to do.
Especially the leaders of the house of Israel. I mean, that's what scripture shows over and over again. The people who get hammered the most are the leaders, the priests and the kings who go wayward. And it's real simple. I mean, a child can understand this, because whichever the way the leaders go, that's the way the people of the house of Israel are going to go.
It's the authority, the covering.
And actually, scripture teaches that the principle is that where the failing becomes and it gets inserted into it is because we mix into the pagan holidays. We mix into the pagan peoples around us. And we bring them in because what happens is we start to intermarry. And then what happens? Oh, well, we got Aunt Susie, pagan whatever, nation over here that says that she really likes to keep this kind of holiday, so we compromise. Because we want Aunt Susie to be at the holiday with us or whatever, which one we're making up for the time that we are celebrating now.
And it's really good you just brought up the leaders, because we have to go to 1 Samuel now, where Shaul has been chosen to be king. What happens to him? Here's the story. 1 Samuel 13:7. Some Hebrews passed over the Yarden to the land of Gad and Gilead, but Shaul was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling. He waited for 7 days, according to the appointment with Shemuel, but Shemuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Shaul said, "Bring a burnt offering and peace offerings here to me," and he offered the burnt offering. And it came to be, as he had finished offering the burnt offering, look, Shemuel came, and Shaul went out to meet him, to bless him. Then Shemuel said, "What have you done?" And Shaul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines had gathered at Michmash, I said, The Philistines are going to come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not appeased the face of Yahuwah. So I felt compelled, and I offered a burnt offering. And Shemuel said to Shaul, you have been foolish. You have not guarded the command of Yahuwah your Elohim, which he commanded you. For now, Yahuwah would have established your reign over Israel forever. But now, your reign is not going to stand. Yahuwah shall seek for himself a man after his own heart. And Yahuwah shall command him to be the leader over his people. Because you have not guarded what Yahuwah commanded you. There is a leader who took things upon himself to do instead of waiting on Yah.
Of Yah's priest.
And he lost the reign.
Yah's ordained priest.
That's right.
So what was that? Why did Shaul do it? Because it was out of fear of the flesh. He saw his people leaving and all this. Why not the first thing that he would... Why didn't he just ask Yah in the first place of what's going on? Give him a prayer. Don't go start sacrificing and try to gather the people unto yourself again. Because it's shortly after this incident with Shaul that he actually sets up an altar to himself. Over it, for his victories in battle over Elohim, and he thought he was doing a good thing. So the bottom line is, Mishpachah, everyone has a misconception when they read scriptures, and you read what our tribes were doing throughout the centuries. Everyone has this idea that there was this big group of people that were all in a cod to one, and there was just these few people going sour and this and that. No, the entire nation had forgotten the Torah many times. Many times throughout Scripture. And then there was people that he raised up over time who had the heart to return, and he put the spotlight on them. He said, these are my people. These are my priests. This is the people with the proper heart that will do exactly what I told them, how I told them to do it, and when I told them to do it. And why don't we have examples, and you think today, oh, well, I'm not getting knocked down because of Hanukkah or this, that, and the other. Well, you know, he gave us the prime examples. He's just not going to just lightning bolt everyone down who's doing this. No, he's going to let these generations live out for the purpose of the redemption of the entire house of Israel, Mishpachah.
And, as Judges 2:20 tells us, he does it to test us.
That's right.
It says here, the displeasure of Yahuwah burned against Israel. And he said, because this nation has transgressed my covenant that I commanded their fathers and has not obeyed my voice, I also shall no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Yehoshua left when he died, in order to try Israel by them.
That's right.
Whether they would guard the way of Yahuwah to walk in them as their fathers guarded them or not.
That's right.
He wants to see what you're going to do.
And he hasn't driven the nations out from in us. And that's the important part. They're in us. The Babylonian customs, the Egyptian customs, the Persian customs, all of them. You know, the Druid customs that are prevalent today and ruling the world.
That's right. Okay, and so for example number 3, we're going to go to Korah. Remember that story in Numbers? This is really important. Korah and all his men assemble against Moshe and Aaron. And they say to him, enough of you, for all the congregation set apart, all of them. And Yahweh's in their midst. So why do you lift up yourselves above the assembly of Yahuwah? And Moshe throws himself on the ground and he tries to talk to him and he tells him, okay, he tells him what to do. So they each take a fire holder, that's what Moshe says, and they put fire in it and they lay incense on it and they stand at the door of the tent of meeting with Moshe and Aaron because Yahweh's going to judge. And Korah assembled all the congregation against them at the door of the tent of meeting. Then the esteem of Yahuwah appeared to all the congregation. And Yahuwah spoke to Moshe and to Aaron saying, separate yourselves from the midst of this congregation. Let me remind you guys, it was Korah and all of the congregation gathered against Moshe and Aaron, okay? We're talking about the many versus the few here. You don't want to go where everybody else is going. Okay, so separate yourselves and let me consume them in a moment. But they fell on their faces and said, Elohim of the spirits of all flesh, when one man sins, are you wroth with all the congregation? So Yahuwah said to Moshe, speak to the congregation, saying, move away from around the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. So Moshe rose up, went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. He spoke to the congregation, saying, please turn away from the tents of these wrong men. Do not touch whatever belongs to them, lest you be consumed in all their sins. So they move away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And then Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the door of their tents with their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moshe said, by this you know that Yahuwah has sent me to do all these works, that they are not from my own heart. If these men die, as all men do, or if they are visited, as all men are visited, then Yahuwah has not sent me. But if Yahuwah creates what is unheard of, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the grave, then you shall know that these men have scorned Yahuwah. And it came to be, as he ended speaking all these words, that the ground under them split apart, the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households and all the men with Korah, with all their goods. So they and all those with them went down alive into the grave, and the earth closed over them, and they perished in the midst of the assembly. And all of Israel, who were round about them, fled at their cry, for they said, lest the earth swallows us up. And a fire came out from Yahuwah and consumed the 250 men who were offering incense. That there was a huge majority gathered against Moshe and Aaron. And they thought they were doing what was right and that Yahweh was going to bless them. And they found out how dead wrong they were when the earth not only opened up and swallowed them, but then fire came out and consumed the rest of them. We have to be so careful what we think is of Yah, and we want to guard ourselves to make sure that we are happy and content with what we know for sure that He commanded without having to add anything else to it. We don't need additions. That's what the number 7 represents. Satisfaction. Completion.
That's right. So I don't want to read from this other article here real quick. It says, the original Hanukkah was in considerable degree a Jewish response to a potent non-Jewish festival present in the general culture. Moreover, the fact that Hanukkah served as a response shaped the form that Hanukkah took. Since fire, for example, was a key symbol in the pagan rites, it was made a key symbol of Hanukkah. Since the winter solstice of the rural Dionysus, whichever celebration Hanukkah comes in response to, took place in late December, Hanukkah is set in late December, though this varies from year to year. The sources state explicitly that Kislev 25 was chosen for Hanukkah because pagan ritual had been celebrated 3 years previously to the day in the temple at Jerusalem. By creating a counter festival, Hanukkah, it may have been felt that the memory of the earlier defilement and humiliation had not been annulled, but that paganism was being mocked in Jewish triumph. So, and let's go on here. Since this is a festival of affirmation in Jewish circles, it is easy to see how it has become a holiday of the first rank in both Judaism and Messianic Judaism. When I first became...
I just want to repeat, you know, a holiday of the first rank.
First rank.
Where's Yahweh's Moedim?
That's right. This man writes, but assume that the minor ones, let's see. When I first became Messianic in 1999 and celebrated not only the 7 mandatory festivals, but assumed that the minor ones were kosher as well, I soon became aware how forceful Hanukkah was and how it seemed to loom above the others in some way.
Yes.
1 year, without even really noticing it, we found ourselves quietly slipping into the Christmas mindset by giving gifts to the children at Hanukkah, as we knew other Messianics did this. I only discovered later that there were many parallels between Christmas and Hanukkah, and that they shared a common spirit, a spirit of pagan syncretism.
Syncretism.
That's mixing, Mishpachah. Moreover, many Jews, especially conservative Jews, justify Hanukkah and the Christmas trappings that has come to absorb solely on existentialist grounds. It is part of Jewish tradition. It affirms that it has come to absorb solely. It affirms Judaism, and so it must remain untouched. Hanukkah is to Judaism, Messianic and non-Messianic, what Christmas is to Catholicism, Eastern Orthodoxy, and Protestantism, a question of identity, of corruption, I might add. So, Mishpachah, the main thing is about all of this is that if you will do your own research and you will look things up, you will find the rotten roots that these things come from. And again, we want to remind you that Hanukkah comes from myths. Myth, bloodletting, and pagan sacrifices and arguments between our people.
And twisting and distortion of Scripture.
Which
and
it still causes such great division today.
That's right.
What of the 7 feasts of Yah do you have to fight amongst yourselves to prove that they are established feasts of Yahweh?
That's right. And on top of that, let's remember that we are sons of Elohim and we are sons of light and sons of day. Like 1 Thessalonians 5:5 tells us, we are not of the night nor of the darkness, and Hanukkah is in a season of darkness. So then we should not sleep as others do, but we should watch and we should be sober.
That's right. And to give you, remember I was reading you from the numerology of 9. I missed a couple of them. They're really kind of important here. We're ending. The 9 was the sacred monogram. The 9 was the sacred monogram of the moon goddess Balon Tiku of the Mayas. in the Brahmanism of Vishnu incarnates in 9 avatars to sacrifice himself for the salvation of men.
The way of the wrong is like darkness. They do not know at what they stumble.
Hallelujah. And you all the same, keep looking everything up, Ms. Bacaw. We love you, and we hope that we will all come out in agreement to Father 7 full fulfilled feast days for the fullness of our satisfaction given to us by all.
Hallelujah. Against your neighbor. You shall not covet.